I'm going to do a lessons on the marriage. This is going to be lesson number one. Here's a title for it, Brother Jack. The Commitment of Marriage, number one. I might name the next one either number two or something different, but I'm going to probably bring three or four or five or six. I'm going to start working on the marriages. Amen? And I'm thinking at least during at least one Sunday service per month, just devote just to the home. Amen? And so let's turn. Tonight I just want to talk to you about the commitment of marriage. The commitment of marriage. There's a commitment to marriage. There really is. Look at Genesis chapter 2. That's where we're going to begin. And look at verse 18 through 24, and let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good to see you tonight. Good to see each one of you. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Well, we had a great time. I gave Rosie almost a 4-foot card. Told her I loved her. And husbands, I hope you told your wife you loved her. Jack, I know you told Judy that, right? Yeah. Amen. I know. Amen. Well, we thank God for our wives. And Judy's, I'll tell you, she's special around here. She does a lot of things, school and a lot of things. And no one makes a spaghetti casserole like your wife. If I had a vote on that one, there's no one better than Judy. Everyone's going to want it, but you can't have it. I'm the only guy that gets it. So me and Brother Jack. Amen. But it is great. And every so often she makes it, and I get some, and I'm happy. And let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Thank you. I know it was a big day today. A lot of families are together, and it's a holiday. And I hope you did get with. I hope if you didn't get a chance to call your mother, make sure you get hold of your mother today. Call your mother and tell her that you love her. Tell her that you thank God for her. Amen? A lot of us would like to do that. My mom is in heaven, so does Rosie's. But I'll tell you, if I could, I would. And moms are pretty special. All righty. Let's look at Genesis 2:18. We're going to talk to you about the commitment of marriage on this first lesson. And the Lord God said, it's not good. Watch what it says, fellas. And the Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone. They have to marry a wildcat. No, I'm just kidding. And the Lord God says, it's not good that man be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Hallelujah for that helpmeet. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names, verse 20, to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But look at that verse 20. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. I remember my Bible college teacher years ago, back in the 70s, he read this to us. He said, think about all those animals, all their mates. And Adam gave all them their names. They all had a mate, but Adam didn't. Think about that. And God looked down and said, man, I made man, but I need to give him a mate. And look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. By the way, ladies, that's why we fall asleep now in the chairs all the time. We're rehearsing, taking that rib out. You ever notice how guys fall asleep, ladies, in the chair? We're just rehearsing what Adam did. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. I had one of those this afternoon. And he slept and he took one of his ribs. I'm told, I'm not a doctor, I'm told that a lady has one more rib than a man, but I'm not sure. Maybe Josh, he's pretty smart. I don't know if that's, you might want to look that up, Josh. But I'm told that, I don't know if that's true, but I'm told that the lady has one more rib than a man. And I don't know if that to be true or not. He took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Last 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Heavenly Father, thank you for the home. It's the first institution you made. You made it before the church. The home came before the church. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as this. I'm going to do it. Lord, you put my heart to do a series of Bible lessons on the home. And I pray that I could be a blessing. Help me tonight to be able to teach this what needs to be done, to just start it. And in the coming weeks, Father, give me exactly what I need to say to help our families. Bless us tonight. Holy Spirit, come down and work in each one of our hearts. Make us better husbands. Make us better wives. Make us better parents. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We read here just now the first marriage of the whole human race. The first man and wife of the human race was Adam and Eve. By the way, if it would have been Adam and Steve, you would never have had no more people. Think about that. I'm not going into it tonight, but you read later, God tells them to populate the world. And you got to have a man and wife to do that. And but notice why God made the woman. I got a couple things here just for tonight to show you. Number one, in verse 18, the reason God made a woman, he said, it's not good that man be alone. Look at that. Look at that verse 18. And the Lord God said it. It is not good that man should be alone. God looked out and he saw the animals and their mates. And Adam, he was all by himself. God looked down and said, you know what? It's not good that man be by himself. He needs a helpmeet. And that's why God made woman. Because man needed a woman. Ladies, you are a completer. You complete your husband. Eve completed Adam. She made him. She made what God started. She fulfilled everything that God needed for Adam with his wife. And so she was she's his helpmeet, and Eve was his completer. Then another thing I want you to see, number two, the marriage consisted of a man and a woman. Not a man and a man, not a woman and a woman. Not same-sex genders, but a man and a woman. And anything else is evil and abomination according to God. I'm going to read you something from Romans. I'd like you to turn to it real quick with me. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but because President Obama sanctioned the queers this week, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care if it was Mr. Obama or some other president or some other congressman. I don't care. I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican, and God knows my heart. I don't care what man says. You got to go with what God says. Amen. Pastor Dave quoted earlier this morning a scripture I like to quote. Isaiah. Stay there in Romans 1. Isaiah 2:22 says this. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he to be accounted of? He's not to be accounted of. I'm not to be accounted of. The only time I can be accountable is if I can give you what God's word says. My word means nothing. His word means everything. Well, I'm going to read to you what God says about, first of all, just the fact that he made a woman shows you that that's what God wanted in the marriage. If God wanted man and man to be in marriage, he'd have made another man. If he wanted women and women, he'd have made a woman, then another woman. You can't improve on God. Amen? Now the world thinks they got the answer, but they don't. See, in the beginning, God. It's always in the beginning. God starts with everything. If you don't start with God, you're starting in the wrong place. I wrote down here Romans 1:24. Wherefore, I'm in Romans 1:24. If you want to stay in Genesis, you can, but Romans 1:24, wherefore God also gave them up unto uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. In other words, did you see its uncleanliness? Did you see its dishonor? How many see that? Who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile, vile. Man, when you're vile, that's evil. Evil. I'm reading God's word. I'm reading God's word right now. It's not my personal, it's God's word. God gave these people up unto vile affections, for even the woman did change the nature on use, natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. See, men with men, women with women, God said that's evil. And verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Don't tell me they don't. See, every person, whether they're saved or not, I can't stay long in this, otherwise I'd be all night in Romans. But you're all born with a God conscience that God is. That's why your conscience bothers you. God put that conscience in there. And God said, those people that go women with women, men with men, look what it says in 28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They've actually blotted God right out of their mind. I don't care what God says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what my youth director says. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I want. And they turn their back on God. They turn their life against God's word. And they go after evil. And the Bible says they did not retain the knowledge of God, but God gave them over to do those things which are not convenient. I'm going to tell you right now, God died for the homosexual. And a lot of times me and Pastor David and my other preachers, we preach hard on this. I love the soul of those people because I come on strong sometimes. I would love to see those people get saved. But what I'm not going to soft soap is homosexuality is evil. It's evil. It's an abomination to God. Men with men, that's an abomination. Women with women, that's an abomination. I don't care. I don't care what president okays it. I don't care what senator. And Mr. Obama, I thank God I appreciate you being my president. I really don't because I can't stand you. But what an abomination. Anyways, I don't want to lose you because I don't want to get people mad. But that is the truth. Let's look up here. I wouldn't have cared if it was a Republican. I'd be tearing them apart right now. I'm done. I'm sick of politics. We better start getting some real people that love this country and get them back in there. Don't worry about the parties. Let's get people that love the Bible and want to get back to the old-time religion. You're hard to find. You ain't kidding. But I saw that president, and I thought, oh, dear God, all those young kids in America saw their... I've always looked up to the president. I've had a hard time when Bill Clinton was the president and Mr. Obama. I've had a hard time with them, but I've always looked up to the office. Marty, you're a soldier. No matter if you always... The office, no matter what the office, you look up to the office of the rank or the official. And he's still our president. I still pray that God helps him. Amen? But Josh, when he got up before the whole country and said that he was endorsing homosexuality, that was bad for our country. I said this Wednesday, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, sins are reproach to any people. And God says that's evil. That's sin. And Proverbs 29 said, Debbie reminded me, I think it's verse 1 and 2. When the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. When the wicked rule, people mourn. Well, I'm going to tell you, we've got wicked on both sides. And that's why America's mourning right now. We better, I hope we can get this old ship turned around before it's too late. Amen? But I'm not preaching. I don't want to get off on that tonight. But what I want you to see is this. That's an abomination. Marriage, look, let's go back to the marriage. I'm going to get off this. Marriage is for a husband and a wife. Anything outside a husband and wife is against God's word, it's against God's law, and it's abomination, and God's word says that it's abomination. And I don't care what political thing you are, it's an abomination of God, and the Bible says, let God be true, and every man a liar. And that includes me if I say something that's a lie. Amen? And so the marriage consists, number one, God said it was not good that man be alone. Number two, the marriage consists of a man and a woman. Number three, God made a marriage to be for a lifetime. In Genesis 2:24, it says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Let me help you young preachers and you there. I usually counsel three or four times with every kid's going to get married. It all depends how I see their life going. If I think they're pretty stable, I don't have to be as much with them. If they're not, I take more time with them. One thing I always say to the couples in my marriage counseling, and I won't marry anybody unless I counsel them two or three or four times. You preachers, don't just marry people. Sit down and deal with their lives before you ever marry them. Matter of fact, unless I know God wants them to get married, I won't marry people. I said this years ago, and I was counseling an older couple. They were senior citizens, and they were going to have me marry them. So I didn't care. I didn't care if I'm going to marry you. I don't care how old you are. And they were in their 60s, maybe 70s. And I started dealing with them, and all of a sudden, she got mad and started yelling. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you guys right now. And he got mad. And I said, I'm not marrying you guys. And she said, what? I said, I'm not marrying you. I said, you're 20 years my senior, but I don't care, 15, whatever they were at the time. I was a lot younger then. And I said, I'm not marrying you guys. I don't think God's in you getting married. They began to scream at me, and maybe a few curse words even came out at me. And I just held my ground. I said, God's not in this. And then she started crying, and so did he. I really didn't want to get married, preacher. I was just doing it because of her. I was just doing it because of him. They went from cursing me, Josh. They both hugged me and thanked me. I'm not making this up. Right downstairs. I'm telling you the truth. They said, after they got there, they said, you know what? You're right. We really don't want to get married. And they hugged Betty. They actually hugged me and thanked me. First they cussed me, and then they praised me. But it wouldn't matter. I'm going to stand on the word of God. And I just didn't feel in my heart that they were supposed to get married. I'm not God, but I've got the Holy Spirit. And if I don't see a bearing of the witness for the Spirit, I don't care. Anybody can marry you, but I'm not anybody. I'm the preacher here. I'm the guy that watches for your souls. Amen? I didn't have that plan. Oh, this will be fun because you'll get to see a lot of years, 42 years coming out of here during these sessions. But God made a marriage to be for a lifetime. And did you notice it says, leave mom and dad? Look at verse 24. Therefore, he shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. when you get, one thing I always tell kids when they get married, this is, you that are counseling, you guys learn from the old man. Don't ever, you young couples, even you older ones, you get in a fight, don't ever go back and tell your parents. You get in an argument, and you call your mom, oh, you can't believe what he said. He went to McDonald's without me. I really wanted that Big Mac too, Mom. And he brought me back just a cheeseburger. And you make him out, you make your husband out to look like Dr. Jekyll and Hyde. You hang the phone up. Your husband comes back. Honey, I'm sorry. I was a knucklehead. You know, I shouldn't have did this. You're smoochy, moochy, lovey, lovey. Oh, the violin's playing. The hearts are all in the air. And everything's, he's brought you a bouquet. Oh, love, love, love. It's love with you. But you know what you just did? You put a vice between your mate and your family. Because from now on, if you yell, if you called your mother and said, my wife did this, or if you call your mother and say, my husband did this, you left a wedge. You guys are smooching, moochy, moochy tonight. But not them. They got his picture with a knife on the wall. They sent it to the voodoo doctor. Curse him, curse him. He hurt my little girl. I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised how many marriages are messed up. You look up here, you couples. When you have an argument, you keep it in-house. Jack, if you and Judy get in an argument, don't call Bobby and Jamie. I know you're the mother. Amen. Jamie, if you and Bobby get in an argument, don't call Mom. You're not going to believe what Bobby did. He did. I'll kill him. You don't want to get both of them. Bobby, if I was you, I wouldn't want to get both of them mad at me. Go out and buy two things of roses, Bob. Eddie, you ain't got a chance. Listen to me. A lot of times our marriages are hurt because we don't use good judgment. And that's what I'm going to start teaching you on how to have good marriages. And a good marriage is, number one, you don't bring your problems out to your family. You keep it in-house. Because you'll work it out. And you'll forgive her and she'll forgive you. But I'm going to tell you right now, Billy, if you do something and she tells Ann's going to hate you the rest of her life. How many are listening to the preacher right now? I'm trying to help you. Listen to me. I've been married, June I'll be married 43 years. I'm not a perfect guy with a marriage, but what I'm saying, I know a little bit, I've been around. I've got some seniority. Amen? And Rosie hasn't killed me yet. But marriage is it's a commitment, and by the way, it's a commitment for life. Here's a scripture for you. Don't turn, let me just quote it to you. How many are glad you're saved forever? I mean, how many believe you got eternal security? All right. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you got married to Christ. Romans 7:4 says this, that we're married to another, Romans 7:4, we're married to another, even to him who raised from the dead. Do you think you're going to divorce Jesus? You think Jesus is going to divorce you? No. Carl, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. When I became one with Christ, that's sealed forever. Look up here. The Bible gives us examples. Just like our marriage with Christ is forever, your marriage down here is supposed to be forever. Now, I know there's circumstances. Sometimes our spouses die. And there's no problem in that. Sometimes people get divorced. And by the way, I agree with Pastor Dave. You don't have to beat on people that got divorced. They've got so much hurt on them now. You know, listen, don't beat on them and try to help them. And I'm saying if you're in and you've been in a divorce, then make that marriage you're in right now work forever. How many are with me yet? Listen, marriage is not entered into with you. Today, marriage, I got this down. Today, marriage is not entered into with thoughtfulness and seriousness. Marriage is serious. It's God ordained. It's God ordained for a man and woman. By the way, I'm not going to finish this message because I'm just on the first page and I'm running out of time because I got to get that for Billy. I don't think young people take the seriousness, and I don't think even older people take the seriousness of marriage. We've got two couples getting married in June. I set them both down. I said, I'm going to tell you right now, this is the most, outside of getting saved, this is the most serious thing you're ever doing in your life. Amen. And it's a commitment forever. I said, when I marry you, I'm expecting you to be married forever. Don't come to me about a month, a year later and say, we're getting a divorce. If you do, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to yell and scream at you. I'll probably take a switch to you. Hey, I'll get some young guys to hold you down, then I'll switch you. Amen. Beat the fire out of you to get some sense put back in your head. Listen, today's marriages are entered in without thoughtfulness. They're entered in without seriousness. And they're entered in. Marty, I know you and your wife have been married for several years now. It's when you and me and Rosie got married, it was God ordained. I was thinking about Carl when he's here, and I love Carl Mack. I was looking at the ABL. They would have had an anniversary on the 18th of May, him and Mary. Would have been over 50-some years, 60 years probably. But I'll tell you one thing him and Mary did. They knew it was forever. Amen? Amen? Marriage is forever. Now, if you made a mistake, don't make a mistake again. Hello? But marriage is forever. It's a very serious commitment. Marriage is a commitment for life. Unto death do we part. And I think sometimes Rosie wants to make me depart so she she wants to tear me apart. Because, Rod, you and I do some things that maybe some not bad, but we do some crazy things sometimes that people don't understand us. We love to buy junk. We're junk men. Go to my house. Go to my garage. Marriage should not be entered into lightly. And today, I believe with all my heart that God, listen to me. I'm not going to preach too much longer. God has got a mate for you. I tell this to everybody. I'll use you, Josh. You're single. I can pick on you right now. If a couple comes down and says, I want to get married, I'll say, you know, God has got a mate for you. And you should know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the person you're marrying is what God. Because I won't marry lost people. I just marry saved people. Hello? Because the Bible says we're not to be unequally yoked together. You marry lost people. You save kids. You marry a lost kid. You're gonna have a lifetime of sorrow. Oh, they'll get saved. I'm banking on them. Once in a great while they get saved. But in most cases, you've wrecked your life. Wait on God's mate for you. I really believe God's got a mate for every person that's supposed to get married. I believe that. I mean that. And I'll tell you right now, when I marry, I put it right there, and I ask it more than once. You can ask every kid that I've counseled, all the kids I've married in the last I put it right there. Do you know for sure this is the one God wants you to marry? And if they don't say to me, I know beyond a shout out, preacher, yes, I won't marry him. And I'll say, I'm going to recommend you don't get married right now. Because if you don't know that's the mate that God's got for you, then you better not get married. Because marriage is for life. Hello? Am I boring you folks? See, we need to, Ray, the trouble with couples today, they ain't starting right. I remember Jack and Alicia getting married. They started right. I knew they were meant for each other. Hello? Aren't they a cute couple? And I keep asking him, how's it going? He says, preacher, it's going great. They're still on the honeymoon, man. And they've been married. How long have you been married? Alicia, how long have you been married? 10 months, Jack. No! Man, that you hold on to that guy, Alicia. Most guys couldn't answer that question. They just know they got married. Sometime. But the kids are excited and they're happy. And I said, that's great. That's how God meant it to be, Ray. And if you start right and keep right, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, God blesses it. And I'm going to say this. I got both my kids here tonight. David Richard, I'm so glad you married Shannon. And she's here. But I really believe God ordained Shannon to be your wife, son. I really do. And I believe David was ordained for Tammy. Only David could put up with Tammy. She's special. By the way, Tammy's got a lot of phenomenal qualities. She has a few, from like her daddy, that's her trouble. But fortunately, she's got a lot of good ones about her mama. But I am so thankful my kids are here today, and I'm not saying it just because they're here. I really believe in that. Me and Rose, I believe God. I believe my children married the mate that God wanted them to have. I believe that. And now I'm working, I'm praying. Do you pray for your grandkids? I'm praying that God puts the right mate with Nat and Austie, and when the other kids get, I'm gonna be, you know, for Bailey Ray and Tippy Brooke and Mr. Man. You know, I want God's perfect mate for all my kids. And you ought to be praying for that. Am I making sense to anybody? By the way, when they start dating, when you're praying, see, you could be saying, I don't know if that's the right mate. You know. By the way, I don't think they ought to date till they're at least 18. They don't need to be running around. Let them just stay pure. You know what I'm determined in this church? I'm determined to raise up a whole bunch of kids here, Bobby. By the way, thank you for being great youth directors. Thank you for having a pure heart and a standard, Bob and Jamie. Thank you. Because I know you preach this to your kids. We need to raise up some teens in this church that'll stay pure to the day they get married. Say, preacher, when I married, that's the first time I known somebody. And that's godly. And that's how God meant it to be. And we're going to keep focusing on that. Listen, I'm tired of praising the people that came out of the dumps like me. Let's praise the kids that never took a drop of alcohol. Let's praise the girls that never lost their virginity. Sometimes I think we're praising I'm a trophy. I understand that God took me. I understand that God took me from the Galena Street back alleys, and I realize I'm a trophy for God, and I thank it. It's all God, though. But what could I have done for God, Bobby, if I would have been pure?
Amen. Amen.
Rosie was pure. Fortunately for me, God gave me the perfect mate to help me build churches. He overlooked me. I got the great deal, and Rosie got the shaft, but she'll get blessed into heaven. God's going to give her a great reward in heaven. But through it, we've got kids that's serving God. And that's where it counts. Am I boring you folks? I'm just getting started. Boy, I'm at the close here. We should seek. I am going to close with this. We didn't even get I might do it, well, not next Sunday night, because we got a mission, Philippine mission. Maybe the following Sunday, just to catch up with this. Listen, we should seek God's face on who our lifetime mate is going to be. Look up here. You kids ought to be praying. God, direct me to the right person that I'm. Yeah, you don't be. Jimmy, you don't need to be praying every day now. You ain't even in high school yet. You ought to be praying, God, make my three-pointer shot beat my dad every time I play him. God, make me quick to get around Colton so he don't stuff me at school recess. And, oh, God, I know I'm just a young kid right now. And Lord, I'm way from not getting married yet. Lord, when it does come, please, God, send me the perfect ladies I'm supposed to marry. And God, help me to walk with you, and help me to love you, and help me to know your perfect will, so when that perfect one comes, I'll know it. I'm gonna embarrass these kids. I really believe Philip and your wife, Marlena. I always wanted to call her Mrs. Abraham. Brother Phil. Yeah. By the way, I thank God for you kids. And I really believe God put these two kids together. I believe that. I see the hand of God with it. I'm excited to see God. See, look up here. You need to know that mate that you marry is from God. Now, if you're already married, then you need to make the best of it. But if you aren't married yet, you gotta. There's Elizabeth, one of the greatest young Christians I've ever seen. And Jim Well, and I can name any one of those kids. They're tremendous. Someday God's going to send them the mate. And when they send the right mate, I pray God will put his hand down, then it'll bear witness, and they'll say, oh, yeah, this is who I'm supposed to marry. Am I making sense to anybody? Yes. Notice, we should seek God's face on who our lifetime mate's going to be. Too many people enter into marriage with the wrong attitude about marriage. If it works out, great. If it works out, great. If not, I'll keep trying until I find the right one. You're never going to find the right one with that attitude. And you're going to have a lot of sorrow. Listen, I need to close. If there was one prayer I had for you kids and for you parents, Bill and Carol, you should pray every day, God, watch over my children. Help them to know you well and walk with you. And God, prepare that special mate for my children. God, help us to have our children in a place where they can meet that mate and where you can do, put and bring them together. And God, help my kids to have the perfect mate that you want for our children. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, that is so important. That is so important. We have over a 50% divorce rate today. You know why? People are getting married that are not supposed to get married. Like Jordan, I know God's called you kids to be together, Jordan. Only your wife could put up with you. No, I'm just kidding. No, I can see God's hand on you kids. I'm excited about little Billy getting married. I'm excited. I'm excited about some other kids that are getting married, and I can see God's hand working in their lives, you know. And I think of my I watched all three of my granddaughters were all dressed up, all my lands like they were grown up women this week. They went to this formal with the Bobby and all my land, even little Tiffy Brooke, my little Snooky Snook, she just turned 13 and there's my Snooky. But she was in a special dress. Prom dress. She was in a real pretty dress, and she looked like she was 16 or 17, at least. And I thought, no, that's only Snooky there. But I thought them boys better stay away from my Snook. And little Nat Nat, she's just a beautiful doll. And my little Bay Ray, oh my lands, she knocked it all the ballpark. And I, David Richard, I saw my babies, your babies and my babies, and they're all getting bigger. My grandbabies are only a few years from getting married. I'm going to tell you right now. Whoever marries my grandchildren, I know that I know their dads are going to put you through the ringer, but I'm going to tell you right now, don't wipe the sweat off yet because grandpa's coming. And I think grandpa's going to be worse than the dads. Those are my babies. I've watched my babies grow up, and I want the best for my babies. They don't have to marry preachers, but I would be happy if they did marry preachers. I just want them to marry the mate that God wants for them and that they would serve. You know what makes me happy? They don't have to marry. I just want them to serve God all the days of their life. Well, that was the introduction. I'm sorry I couldn't. Well, 2 weeks from now, maybe I'll go again on it, but that was the introduction. And you think I'm kidding you, but that was the introduction. And I hope I didn't bore you about marriage. There's a lot of things I'm going to share with you. We need to look up here, church. I don't care how old you are. We need to hear these things. And we need to think about them. And in the next few months, I'm going to be pouring my heart out to you. I got all kinds of things I want to show you from about marriage. And I've probably failed you. The last year and a half of my life, I've been more sicker the last year and a half of my life than I have my whole ministry combined. But I think I'm starting to come back. Bobby, I feel my paw coming back. And I feel like pulling in the valley again. And so I'm ready to go at it. I'm excited. When you feel better, you feel like preaching and doing things. Now let me say this and I will close. I haven't done everything when it's cold outside. Remember, I got that double pneumonia. You might think I make it. A lot of times I don't go out in the cool air with you. It's because I don't want to catch pneumonia. But look up here. I witness everywhere I go. And I make hospital visits. And when it gets real warm out, I'll be knocking on doors with you. This winter, preacher didn't do a whole lot of that. And I did it deliberately. I just didn't want to catch pneumonia. I know you say that's an excuse, but it's something that was in my heart, and I don't want to catch it. I had double pneumonia, almost didn't make it, and I didn't want to catch it again. Does that make sense? God knows my life. He knows my heart. I just want to serve him. How about you? And as we get older, we can't do as like I've told John and Betty, we can't, and Emma, we can't do all the things that the kids do. But the silver hairs, we can still do some things. Now, Mac's like the young kids. He gets out with them, goes up. He's unbelievable. He's a miracle man. But work on your marriages. Let me close with this. I might close with this every time I do it. Try every day. Try every day to let your spouse know that you love them. Try every day to let them know you appreciate them or her. And Rosie makes me breakfast. I'll say, thank you for the breakfast. Really? She makes great breakfasts. If there's hardly a day goes by, and I'll get on this, and you younger guys listen to me. And Rosie will tell you this. I'm not making it up. There's hardly ever a day I don't tell my wife she's beautiful. I say, man, you're so pretty, honey. Man, I can't believe how nice your hair looks. And how you. She spends over an hour every morning working on her hair just so she can look good. No, I'm serious. And I tell her, I say, Rosie, I really appreciate you always looking so nice. Hello? Fellas, do you ever thank them for the things they do for you? And then, I'll get into more of this a little bit. in the morning, or when, make sure you brush your teeth, though, before you gargle with Scoop. But put a real smooch on her. That's the last thing I'm going to leave you, especially you young kids. Just don't say, oh, well, we're taking off now. You're not, I'm talking about in the privacy of your home. I'm not trying to be evil. God knows my heart. Some of you guys, a little peck on, bye, I got to go, a little peck on the cheek. I remember when you were dating, you weren't pecking on the cheek. Why should it change? Why should it change? Even seniors, listen to me, and I'm not being filthy. God knows my heart. We should be affectionate with our mates. Grab her in your arms and put it on her, man. I mean, put a check. After you brush your teeth and gargle, you get your precious wife and you say, come here, honey. I want a smooch. I've got to go to work, but I'm not leaving until I get that smooch. And Kelly, what you need to do is really put the smooch on so he can't wait to get home from work. You girls ought to put a smooch on him so much that he leaves work early just to get home and get another one of those smooches. And I'm not trying. There you go. That'll work. That'll work. You know what? If there would be some more guys taking days off with their wives, there'd be less divorces. See what happened? You'll smooch and hold each other before you get married. Then after you get married, I don't care about it. No, it's a lifetime. I still get excited. I love to kiss Rosie. I'm not trying to be evil. Please, I hope you get my heart here. I'm trying to help you. The reason families break up, you did all those special things, Phil, to get married. You gave her presents. You told her how much pretty she was, how much you loved her. Oh, baby, I love you. And then after you get married, all that stops. It should never stop. It should never stop. It's what brought you together. You should keep on, Sean. When you first married Nicole, oh, man, I can't stand to be away from you, honey. Writing her notes, oh, dear honey, please. I can't bear to be without you. When's the last time you wrote her that note? I'm just trying to, by the way, they're great kids. I'm trying to challenge you. Hey, wise, do you make their lunch? If you make their lunch, you're in the lunch, put a little note in that lunchbox. I made this strictly for my He-Man. Can't wait till you get home tonight, honey. I'm looking to see my He-Man. Love, whoever your name is. You did that before you got married. Why don't you keep doing it? Hello?